Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
This Texas border story is kind of fascinating. I think it's the story of the day because the border is still the biggest story in America. Will Trump have to sell properties in order to pay off this judgment against him in New York? Maybe. Maybe. That's a big story. I'm going to get into it. Where the Democratic Party is on Israel and their own bigotry? Big story. I'm going to get into it. What Trump had to say, how he's getting attacked, yet somehow Chuck Schumer is courageous? Stop it. Oh, and the questions I'm getting asked. The border. Enough fentanyl thus far to kill 270 million Americans? Good Lord. Good Lord. That's a story. That, you could argue, is the entire story. That we have a border that is quite simply unsafe. We have a border that is dangerous. We have a border that we have an entire complex known as Congress that refuses to do any work. The total lack of caring. The total desire to not pay attention, to blame somebody else. Well, exactly. How long is Texas supposed to put up with this? And Texas said, we're not going to put up with this. We're not doing it. So what they created was a law. And they said they could arrest and deport people who are in the state illegally. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. Immigration policy is the purview of the President of the United States. I've said so a million times, I'm not about to stop saying so, even if the President of the United States is a moron. Even if he fails to do his job, even if Congress fails to do their job, and that's both parties, still the purview of the President. I said so when Trump was president. I say so when Biden's president. What Texas said, if I understand the legislation properly, is we're not discussing who's coming across the border. They've already come across the border. We think that when we deal with them, if we have to engage in an arrest, we can send them back. This went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, okay, we hear you, and you can do this. This is known as SB 4. In the state of Texas, a 6-3 decision that would allow the Texas police to arrest people suspected of illegally crossing the Texas-Mexico border could take effect. So, is that the same thing as engaging in border enforcement? No. People are already crossed, but they can see things and then they can act. Yes, you could do this. It's an interesting way to look at the legislation. Enter the Fifth Circuit. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals then says, yeah, we know what the Supreme Court says, but you know what? Can't do it anyway. Because if this is going to get remanded to us, then what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves how it would be applied. How is this going to be handled? So here's where we are. We are in this place where does Texas have the ability to protect and defend itself? That's the question. Do they have the ability to do this? I want to say yes. I want to say that, of course, they have the ability to protect and defend themselves. As a matter of fact, that is their job. That's their job, is to protect and defend the citizenry. How in the world could we see it otherwise? Why is it that everybody is so apoplectic that Texas would make this move? These are the people who were equally apoplectic when Texas sent people to Martha's Vineyard and New York and Chicago. I don't know if Texas is going to be overall successful here. I just love that they're doing it, because the doing it exposes the issue to more and more people. This is a problem. The border is an issue. We're killing ourselves here. And maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe this is a valueless proposition. Maybe, just maybe, we should think more of ourselves and stop this madness from taking place. Because it is kind of remarkable that we have still allowed this to happen and we don't see anything in a push towards getting it done. As a matter of fact, there's more conversation happening now about Ukraine getting money than there is about the border. And the whole reason that the legislation from the Senate that funded Ukraine, funded Israel, and funded Taiwan has been put on hold is because the House Republicans want to see something about the border. And there's a push for something called a discharge petition that would say, sorry, Mr. Speaker, but this legislation we're bringing to a vote. And if the legislation was brought to a vote, the legislation would pass. Of course it would pass, because Democrats would vote for it, possibly all of them. They're willing to vote for that and not vote for the border. Well, of course, as you know, there was a bipartisan border security bill that was brought to the Senate, but it never got out of the Senate. Okay. Okay, try again. Try something else. Try anything else. What is it about something failing that has you go, well, give it our best shot? What do you mean you gave it your... What do you mean you gave it your best shot? Giving it your best shot once is not giving... Is it your only shot? You gave it your best shot. Now what? Try again. Try again. Why is this so difficult? It seems radical. Nope, sorry, take that back. It seems purposeful. Outrageously purposeful. That you wouldn't try again. Pass some legislation that just brings about the full funding to build the full wall, which is really a fence, and is not from sea to shining sea. There are plenty of places where there's no wall. Why? It's not necessary. Because the wall doesn't stop people. The wall slows people down. And the wall doesn't even exist in many places on the border. It exists inland. When you head down to McAllen, Texas, it will freak you out. The wall is inland by like a mile. You're like, what the heck is this? What is going on here? This can't work. They already know that people are coming across the border. This is to slow them down, to be able to process them, to then decide who could come in and who has to go. So just do that. Just pass that. The border is the biggest story in America. In the primaries that took place last night, I will tell you that it probably played very little role because the primaries were perfunctory. Sure, there were some Senate races and other things. Who's going to be the nominee? Interesting. Kevin McCarthy's district. Kevin McCarthy, of course, the former speaker. They unceremoniously removed him. I don't think it gave them anything. I don't think the Republican Party won anything from it at all. If I read the data right, there's going to be a runoff between two Republicans. The Democrat came in third. So that House seat is going to stay in Republican hands in that special election. That's how I read the data. In Ohio, a Trump-backed candidate, Bernie Moreno, won the nomination over a state senator, Matt Dolan. He's going to take on Sherrod Brown, the Democrat. So there were some movement in those kinds of races. But the idea that the primary was about anything like the border, no. Primary was about, here's the R, here's the D. I'll give you the one interesting thing about the primaries. Very fascinating stuff. When you take a look at some of the numbers, in some places, Nikki Haley got 100,000 votes. Now, she never got more than 13% of the vote. But isn't it weird? She's been out of the race for 2 weeks, and she could still get six figures worth of votes? I mean, Trump got 75, 80% of the vote in every case, whether it be in Ohio, in Arizona. This isn't a debate. He's the nominee. I just thought that was an interesting number. I don't know. It stuck out. The border is the biggest story in America. Texas is right to do things to protect and defend its people. We'll see where the Supreme Court lands with this Fifth Circuit decision. I'm Tony Katz. Senator John Kennedy is a revelation. He's just fantastic. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. They're doing this whole panel thing about climate change, right? Very, very important that we discuss climate change. And part of the panel, they're the experts on climate change, includes an Olympian skier. An Olympic skier is there to talk about climate change. And Senator Kennedy, he's got questions. And his questions are, so absolutely glorious. If I could get it to play, it would be absolutely glorious.
When my colleagues invite witnesses to come to us to tell us, advise us on passing legislation, I always check out the background of our witnesses because I like to know who I'm talking to. I checked yours out, Mr. Schumacher, and I want to be sure I understand it as I evaluate your testimony. On June 8, 2020, you tweeted, I'm going to quote, "The war on drugs was intentionally created to incarcerate black people en masse," end quote. The war on drugs, you said, was intentionally created to incarcerate black people en masse. Who intentionally created the war on drugs to put black people in jail? Who were you talking about?
I don't remember typing that.
You don't?
No.
It's on your Twitter feed.
Maybe a retweet. I don't know. I haven't used that in a while.
Well, also, even if it's a retweet, it shows your support. Right?
He's talking to Mr. Gus Schumacher, Olympian skier. Olympic skier. He's deeply engaged with. He's like, hey, just I wanted to know who you were. You're brought to this panel to talk about to us about the effects of climate change. Here you talk about the war on drugs and racism. Well, I don't know if I wrote that. Maybe it was a retweet. I don't remember. I was pretty high. As you know, I am a skier. I was pretty stoned off my face. You know, I was rubbing mushrooms between my toes because that's the way you want the absorption, you know, because I'm an expert. And so I don't remember writing that at all. I think it's an interesting question because are these people really experts? This is what Senator John Kennedy is exposing here.
Maybe, yeah, but it's not the topic of this conversation.
Right, but it has to do with you're here giving us advice, and I just kind of like to know a little bit more about your
I'm here as an athlete giving you my story and what I've seen in my field.
On August 27th of 2020, you tweeted this, quote, I'm going to quote, "Police are paid with taxpayer dollars. If they are not answerable to us, we can demand new service," and that's what this is, "abolish the police in favor of that new service," end quote. You think we ought to abolish the police, do you?
Again, not the topic I'm here to talk about today.
I know, but...
We understand. And this is the point. You've got a position on abolishing the police. You've got a position on the war on drugs. You've got a lot of positions. It's hard to figure out all your levels of expertise. And he doesn't want to talk about it know-how.
But you tweeted it. Do you think we ought to abolish the police?
That's not what I'm here to talk about.
Should we do that before or after we get rid of fossil fuels?
I'm not going to address that.
You don't want to address it. Okay. Let me ask you about one more of your tweets. On August 26, 2020, you tweeted, there's a picture, I'm not going to describe the picture, but you said, quote, your words, not mine, it's on your Twitter feed, quote, "This is what systemic racism looks like. The Los Angeles Police Department is literally policing only the Black Lives Matter side," end quote. What do you mean by that?
This is still off topic.
No, it's not. You're here as an expert telling us, advising us, and I'm asking you about your background.
I'm here as an athlete to talk about the effects of climate change on my sport.
No, you're not. You're there to help move a narrative that you clearly know nothing about. Like you know nothing about policing. Like you know nothing about the war on drugs. We can debate these things. But you want us to believe that because you feel something at the moment that that's expertise, and it's not. You're just a schmuck with an opinion. And if you want to be a schmuck with an opinion, get a radio show. By the way, who saw that joke coming like 42 miles away? I could not have driven that truck slower, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you do when you want to be a guy with an opinion. Look at me. You dare speak in front of Congress like I should somehow respect you? Gus Schumacher, no. I'm not a cross-country skier, admittedly. But I'm not listening to you on the environment at all. And this is Senator Kennedy's point. What have you shown? What have you given? What have you provided that shows that you have some kind of expertise, of some kind of value to the conversation that has not already been given? You will throw out whatever narrative nonsense is out there so you will be liked, get 5 more tweets, and maybe find somebody to have sex with you that night. And that's it! It's a good hookup tool, but it's not a good tool for policy. I'm Tony Katz.
state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. The former president's comments were utterly disgusting and a textbook example of the kind of anti-Semitism facing Jews, pushing the dangerous anti-Semitism trope of dual loyalty. To say you hate Israel or your religion because you have one political view over the other is sick, it's hateful. It is unadulterated anti-Semitism.
Hold on a moment. Now, it's one thing to say Jews who vote for liberals are out of their minds. Although I've said it and I meant it. But it's completely different to say that it's wrong to acknowledge that there are people of a political ideology who may be part of a religion who despise Israel. This is, of course, happening. People who have abandoned their religion for their ideology. And because they're a liberal, because they're a progressive, they see Israel as the impediment. Israel's the problem. Israel's the issue. When, of course, that's not true. Israel would gladly live with a Palestinian state. And Hamas will not live an hour without trying to kill another Jew. This is the reality. And the people who will not acknowledge that are out of their minds. And when Trump engages this conversation, as he did, and discussing the idea that these people, you're out of your mind if you're Jewish and you vote for the left. You know, the New York Times has the headline, Trump says Jews who support Democrats hate Israel and their religion. You're right. That's a harsh thing to say. Well, let's talk about these people and why it's a worthy conversation. Tony Katz today, 833-468-8669, 833-GOT-TONY. For the sake of clarity, let us do away with the dual loyalty insanity. The conversation is that Jews somehow, American Jews, oh sure, they've got loyalty to the United States, but you know their real loyalty is with Israel. I'm an American. You don't have to ask. I'm here to tell you. I think Israel should exist, and I think Israel can defend itself. I'm a Zionist in that way. And when I say in that way, I mean I'm a Zionist. There are some who believe in what can be described as a religious Zionism. I'm talking about the Theodor Herzl, old school, there should be a state of Israel. Israel has the right to exist. Israel has the right to defend itself. Absolutely. I don't apologize for a second. And I know that I am supported by a vast majority of people who think that Israel shouldn't be wiped off the map, even if they were to disagree with some Israeli policies. Let's take, for example, the idea of settlers. Here's the West Bank, which is Israel in my view. And here are these Israelis building houses in this area. Who does it belong to? How should it be divided? Jordan has control of this and this one has control of that. I don't actually believe that there's a problem with settlements. Now, you might disagree with me on that. That's a policy conversation right there. Neither one of us is discussing whether or not Israel should exist. We're discussing policies within the state of Israel, just like we can discuss policies within the United Kingdom. For example, I think the United Kingdom has horrific immigration policies, and my proof of that are people who have been beheaded in broad daylight. That is not a conversation that the British Empire should finally have the sun set on it. Do you see how that works? And by the way, I don't believe there are things such as settlements. These are Israelis living in Israel. That's the way I view it. And I know people disagree with me on that one. But that's about policy. It's another thing altogether to say, well, you see, the problem with Israel is the way they're responding. You see, the issue with Israel is that they're reacting. You see, they've killed 30,000 people. If you get your data from Hamas, you don't actually want to have a conversation about policy. You want to have a conversation about Israel being eliminated. That's the argument. Do you see how that works? Quoting Hamas does not make you somebody who is logical. It makes you somebody who is wholly irrational. Chuck Schumer dares to now lecture us about how people who are Jewish should be treated because he doesn't like what Trump has to say. Schumer is the guy who called for Israel to carry on elections. That wasn't courageous, as Senator Chris Coons of Delaware stated. That wasn't courageous, as former Speaker Nancy Pelosi stated. That was giving aid and comfort to Hamas. Hamas could have written the line. An election would cause Israel to stop any fighting and focus on an election for 6 months. By the way, it's Israel. They have an election every 6 months anyway. It's the most ridiculous, fakakta, nonsense, crazy system of politics you ever saw. They've got a Supreme Court, no constitution. None of it makes sense. The Supreme Court is able to make determinations based on the concept of reasonableness. What is that? It ain't American, that's what it is for sure. And I find it twisted as can be. Calling for Israel to have elections because Netanyahu is so terrible is to fail to understand where the Israelis are right now. They are united in trying to destroy Hamas, and they know they will have to destroy Hezbollah. They are united. And Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, the Democrat from New York, who has been so pro-Israel his whole career, tried to divide them. Because that's where his party is at. Netanyahu is bad. Netanyahu is right wing. Netanyahu has to go. You know, Israelis don't like Netanyahu at all. But they're not even looking for him to go right now. There will come a moment. Right now, they're looking for Hamas to go. They ain't even thinking of it. They'll go with Yoav Gallant, the defense minister. They'll go with Benny Gantz, who's it's referred to as minister without portfolio. One of those guys could easily be in charge next. And you know what the Israelis will do? Same exact thing they're doing right now. They will enter Rafah. It's going to happen. Goes without saying. They don't care what Joe Biden said. They don't care what Chuck Schumer said. But to call for elections is to take the side of Hamas. Part of the issue is that the left here in America wants to wrap you up into left conversations. So I was asked about Itamar Ben-Gvir, who is a member of the cabinet. He's the Minister of National Security. He is what they refer to as hard right. Hard right, oh, hate speech and a series of things. He is part of a concept called religious Zionism. And he has, as is reported, he believes that not only do you have to do away with Hamas and Hezbollah, you have to do away with Arab Israelis, that they somehow have to prove their loyalty to Israel. I differ in this regard. As I see the situation, Arab Israelis are not with Hamas. They just want to live. They want to go to work. They want to enjoy their lives. They get that Israel is better than anything in Gaza. They wouldn't want to be there if their lives depended on it. They're disgusted by Hamas, disgusted by Hezbollah. They want to live in peace. And they're working. They're living lives. They're Israeli citizens. And I feel no need, none, to engage a conversation about them engaged in some level of loyalty test. feel no need whatsoever. But let's get back to Schumer. And let's get back to what Trump said. Trump stated in an interview, I actually think they hate Israel. I think they hate Israel and the Democrat Party hates Israel. Any Jewish person, this is Trump speaking, I'm quoting, any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel and they should be ashamed of themselves because Israel will be destroyed. Now, the idea that any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion, I have come to understand that that kind of talk always gets pushed back. Who are you to tell me about my religion? And I don't think that I should, because I would never allow anybody to tell me about mine, how I feel, how I'm connected. But the idea that you don't think Israel should defend itself, I think that's crazy town. I think it's crazy town for Jews. I think it's crazy town for non-Jews. As we've discussed here from the beginning, if you think that Hamas or Hezbollah, really Iran, they're stopping with Israel, you're crazy. Israel is step one. The little Satan is only step one. We're step two. Western civilization is step two, step three. Just is. It just is. So do Jews who vote for Democrats hate their religion? I don't know. What I have argued is that Jews who are progressives have abandoned their religion. You can tell me it's a distinction without a difference, and I'll tell you fine. I will tell you fine. I will tell you that a Democratic Party that does not stand up to Omar or Tlaib, that does not stand up to Ayanna Pressley or Ocasio-Cortez or to Senator Chris Van Hollen, Jewish Democrats in the House and in the Senate who don't stand up and say, what in the hell is wrong with you? I don't get that. Also, I don't get it from non-Jews either. I'm an American and I never question it. I am absolutely aware that my life is better off if Israel's in the mix. You're telling me that Jews don't know that? That's weird. I think it's weird, and I actually think it's wholly dishonest. But I'm certainly not going to listen to quote-unquote rabbis who want to sit here and tell me that Trump's commentary is anti-Semitic. This is allegedly a rabbi in Los Angeles on CNN. Now, I say allegedly. I don't know her. She could very well be a rabbi. I don't know where she was ordained. I don't know the size of her congregation. I don't know if they picked somebody who once said the word rabbi. It would be wrong for me to dismiss her credentials without knowing her credentials. Listen.
Yeah, that's right, Dana. I mean, first of all, these comments are totally on brand for Trump. It is an attempt to really bully and shame American Jews into voting for him. And he's trying to stir fear and paranoia among American Jews. It's not going to work. American Jews historically vote very solidly Democratic and also really dislike intensely the former president. That's not going to change now. In fact, most American Jews don't share Trump or Bibi's vision for Israel, and certainly don't share Trump's vision for America. So the greater concern right now is not that he's going to be successful in convincing American Jews not to vote Democratic. The greater concern that I have right now is that anti-Semitism is not only dangerous for Jews, but is truly dangerous for democracy.
Anti-Semitism is dangerous for democracy, but allow me to be very clear. Rabbi Sharon Brous, who this is, B-R-O-U-S, doesn't speak for Jews at all. At all. Jews absolutely need to be aware of what's going on, paying attention to what's going on, and taking a look at a Democratic Party that does indeed hate them, that says so, that sides with anti-Semites. Congressman Andre Carson of Indianapolis is proud to be friends with Louis Farrakhan and won't denounce him. What are we talking about here? The congressman from Iowa, who am I talking about? I can picture him. I can see him. Oh, my gosh. Who said some quasi-white supremacist stuff. It was weird. Steve King. Steve King is who I'm talking about. He had his committee assignments taken away and off to the dustbin. Years earlier to that, I've had numerous conversations with that man. Never got a whiff. People are what people are. Sometimes they'll surprise you. But this idea that somehow, I mean, listen.
Stir fear and paranoia among American Jews. It's not going to work. American Jews historically vote very solidly Democratic and also really dislike intensely the former president. That's not going to change.
They don't sincerely dislike the former president, nor are they sincerely opposed to what Bibi is doing regarding taking out Hamas. By the way, I found out about this rabbi. She blessed Obama and Biden. She blessed Biden and Harris. You know, they picked the most left-leaning rabbi they could. I'll have more on this in the days ahead. I'm Tony Katz.
Witness the president commit a crime. Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir? Specifically.
You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse me, sir.
You got to love Ocasio-Cortez. The representative asking questions of Bobulinski. There was this hearing about Hunter Biden, Joe Biden. And she's there. Just not happy with how Tony Bobulinski is speaking. What is the crime? I mean, it's a fine question. But it's as if he wants to answer and nothing will satisfy, which is, I think, of course, the story. We'll see the full effects of this tomorrow. Keep it here. More to get to. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today.